Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day 33. And the Bible verses are Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And it reads, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." That's Isaiah 53:4-5. We are, as I make this recording, we are in the beginning of the year again. We are in January, so our readings now are historical. We are reading the book of Genesis, the beginning of life. But just a few days ago, we were in the books of prophecy, where we were getting a snapshot of who was going to be the Savior of the world in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, of course, we were getting a preview of what is going to happen when the Savior returns. In this particular writing in Isaiah, Isaiah is considered a major prophet because he has so much that he has written. And what he has written has pointed so remarkably to Jesus Christ many, many hundreds of years before Jesus was revealed as the Christ. These things were written and spoken about him. And we can see even in these verses, Isaiah 53:4-5, just how it just shows Jesus' crucifixion, what he went through, you know, on that Friday before he was killed, and I mean before he went, you know, was taken to the cross and died and rose again. But these verses, I always like to remember what was done on my behalf. It helps me to stay on the right track. When I remember the great length that God went to save me. These verses says that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. You know, we, like I said in Genesis, we just read about the fall. And also, if you are careful and read as, you know, what is spoken there, we realize that God himself was going to provide a solution to what mankind had done, the mistake, the sin that he had done. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." We esteemed him stricken. One of the things about my eyes is that they don't always see what is true. I'm not capable to always detect the lie of the evil one. But God is capable of that. And that is why I want to stay very, very close to him. His truth opens my eyes. Without him, I can reject that which will save me and help me. So I want to stay close to the Lord. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions." One of the things that I have learned by reading the Bible is that the justice of God When wrong has been done, it must be repaid. Somebody has to pay it. In the Old Testament, they used animals, the blood of animals. Those animals had to lose their lives for what was had been done wrong. And even in today's reading, in the Old Testament, where Adam and Eve sinned by lying to the Lord or doing the wrong thing that the Lord told them not to do, something suffered. It was those animals that the Lord had to use to make clothing for them. You go back and you read that God provided clothing for them that were skins. So that meant that an animal lost their life. But with animals losing their life, they kept coming back to the sin. But God himself came down and gave his life. And for those of us who accept it, we know that our sins have been forgiven for eternity. And when we really learn that and remember that, it fills us with such a gratitude and a love for God that we don't want to keep doing the wrong thing. We don't, because we realize that atonement requires blood, sweat, and tears. It really does. And when I thought about that this morning, I realized that, yeah, even, when I am trying to turn back from some wrong that I have done, it's going to take work. This is why I tell people, when you're out of the food, stay out of the food. It's so much easier than getting abstinent again. But I say this, if you're not eating right now, you are abstinent. You're abstinent. So take this to heart. Don't pick up. Even though it is hard, don't pick up, because if you pick up, it will be even harder. So don't listen to the evil one. Stay abstinent. Do what is right. And we are very clear in Bible for Food about the way to get clean with your food. You want to be orderly with your food. You want to know what it is that you are doing about your food on a daily basis, meaning today. And so if you are in the sound of my voice and you have no idea what you're doing with your food, don't plan to fail. Don't plan to do that. Have the humility to call out to God and ask him to show you what does it look like today to eat in a God-honoring way, and write it down. Make a note of it. Put it in a meal. And that's what most of us have found, that we cannot eat all day long like we used to do, where we were popping food every moment that we had, or every little whim that we had with our thinking, we would, put something in our mouths. We have meals. And in between those meals, we fast. We don't eat in between those meals. And we plan our food versus logging our food. Logging means that after we have eaten something, then we go and try to recoup by writing down what we can remember what we ate. That is very, again, not effective over a long period of time, because the nature of the food problem is that we can forget how much we consume. And so if you're in the sound of my voice and you are very serious about wanting to be abstinent today, remember what a lot of people have learned. I mean, not only people in Bible for Food, but people who are not even born again yet, they know this skill. the skill of coming and settling down and writing out and planning what they are going to eat in a day's time. I look back over when I wasn't willing to do that. There was a time when I wasn't willing to do it. And part of that was my pride, and part of it was my unacceptance. I did not want to accept the truth that I had made a crossover in the way that I was relating to food. They used to have a little joke in the secular room, and they would say, once a pickle, never a cucumber. In other words, there is a crossover line in terms of the food, where when we have struggled so much that our flesh has almost become warped in it. This is why, you know, in the Bible it says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we know how that flesh is. It's weak, but it's very loud. And so we don't go into the day without knowing what we are going to do with the food with the Lord's help. And we write it down. We write it down. So if you're serious about being abstinent today, take the time to do that, to really do it. Don't just slap some words on a page, or don't, you know, just, you know, make it generic day after day after day. You know, generic food is okay when you're in a pinch or something like that. Sometimes you really don't know what it is that you are going to do, so then you put the template down of what it is that you are going to do. In other words, like specifically, if I didn't know I was going to have 4 ounces of turkey at lunch or something, then I would say 4 ounces of protein off from the plan, my template, off the plan that I follow. But I don't do that day after day after day, because that shows a sloppiness in my thinking. I am forgetting what blood, sweat, and tears got into the food plan that I have. People walked before me in the plan that I eat. I walked before myself in a way, and in that I have history of doing this. And so I want to learn from that history, doing what I need to do to take care of my food today and not take it lightly. Not think that I am so spiritually minded that I cannot be tempted in a way that used to tempt me before. Many people have gone out into the food because they think that they are now in heaven. They have the heavenly bodies, and they will not go back into the food because they are, quote unquote, so spiritual. Again, keep in mind that Matthew 26:41, we're not our flesh, but we tell you this, that the flesh stands by, still looking for an opportunity to just jump back into the driver's seat. And I say that not to scare you or anything, but to help you to get wise about this food issue. As long as you wrestle with the food, it is an indication that there's some acceptance that needs to happen. Some getting real about what has happened with the food. In here, it talks about how some people look at what I am doing with my food, and they see it as a hardship. And I want to put it on record for today. It is not a hardship for me. I am choosing this path of life, and it is wonderful. I am not restricted about my food. I choose to be disciplined about my food. In fact, I don't accept negative remarks about my food. I don't speak about my plan of eating as in a negative tone, and I don't do it to other people. If a person is abstinent and God has given them a plan of what they are to do with their food, I take it as God-given and that they are following what God has told them to do. And the same thing about me. God has given me this particular plan, and I intend on following it today. Taking care that I'm not sloppy in the way that I weigh and measure my food, but also I'm not sloppy in the way that I perceive the gift. I don't talk of it as, it's legalistic or it is strict or it is whatever. No, it is a gift from the Lord, and I am following it today. And I'm full of great gratitude for what it is. And I'm not full of pride either. I'm not going the other route either. I get into an arrogance about my food and what I'm doing and stuff like that. No, it's not that either. It is holding on to the hands of the Lord and taking this gift that He has given to me so that I can do the work that He calls me to do. My food is to fuel my body, to give me fuel to do the work that God calls me to do. And yes, it is enjoyable, but it's not as delightful as walking and living with my Savior. And this I do know about the food, is that if it is not right in a day, it will either consume me by compulsion, where I am binge eating every moment of the day, or by obsession, where I am thinking about the food and or my body image and appearance. You know, thinking about the body image and appearance 24/7 or even more than God, that's idolatry too. Thinking, ooh, aren't I something? I can't even go past a mirror and I have to look at my image. I have to check my waist. I got to look at my thighs and talk about it all the time and, you know, this and that. No, this is not what God is calling me to do. He definitely wants me lean and healthy and strong. He definitely wants me, but please, when I am, you know, clean and clear about my food, I don't have to sit around and keep reiterating it over and over and over again. I just need to follow it and do what I said that I am going to do. And that, again, I want to make sure that I put this on this recording. You know, if you're trying to get abstinent, remember that there is going to be some misunderstanding from people. People are not going to understand why you do what you do, and you don't need to be wasting time trying to convince them, you know, why you do. And let's make sure you know God has taught you what you need to do, and to do it for this day, and to know that you will be called to help another out as well. And so, and when I have found again that it's important for me to stay abstinent, the big three for me, number one is to be in God's word, to be in truth, to know truth, because the devil is a liar and he will definitely try to lie his way back into my life. No, not today. The other thing is that I take care of my food. I am diligent about doing what God has called me to do. I'm squeaky clean for Jesus' sake. I don't want to be hindered in my work for the day. But the third thing is prayer. And actually, prayer is all through my day. I pray before I even get in the Word so that I can understand the Word. I pray before I weigh and measure my food so that I'm squeaky clean and stay that way. I pray for myself. I pray for others. Prayer is an essential part of me doing this walk on this side of heaven. But let me pray even now to end this in this message. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am not your enemy and you are not mine, Lord. I need you. Oh, I need you. And Father, I thank you that you have shown me that. And no, I do not want any blocks in that. I don't want any idolatrous thinking or anything like that. I don't want to make my abstinence an idol. But I certainly want to use it as a tool that you have given to me and use it well. Keep me prayerful in this day. I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.